This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 204 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. Quarterback was a complete S-show last week. I didn't like Aaron Rodgers all that much, and I talked about that on last week's matchup show, and he scored fewer than 14 fantasy points, but he was still the QB13 on the week. Mitch Trubisky came through, though, and so did Kirk Cousins. Both of them were better than Aaron Rodgers, and I talked about both of them as undervalued on last week's show. So quarterback was pretty good last week. Running back wasn't. Ito Smith didn't do as much as I thought that he would as a deeper play, and neither did Kenneth Dixon. I will say, though, I'm pleased with the James White breakdown from last week. That proved to be true. He wasn't very involved in that offense. Taylor Gabriel didn't come through as a deep wide receiver play, and I most definitely missed on Kenny Golladay. The one time I go against Babytron and he goes off, I've learned my lesson. But similar to James White, I tried to talk down Amari Cooper and his impact in last week's game as well. So that worked out. All in all, it was another solid week. Before we look at the matchups for Championship Week, I wanted to remind you guys that you can play awesome single-game slate contests over on FanDuel.com. There's no Thursday night game this week, but you can head over to FanDuel and play the Saturday night special, which is the single-game contest for the Chargers-Ravens game. Make sure to do that before Saturday night. Dak Prescott is coming off a really bad game against Indianapolis where he scored just 6 fantasy points. But I think he can turn things around here in Week 16. Dallas is averaging about 15 points on the road this year, but that jumps about 10 points per game at home. And they're facing a Tampa Bay defense that's just been gashed all year long. They've allowed the third highest net yards per attempt rate, and only 3 teams have given up more fantasy points per game. So I think that Dak is in a good spot to score this week. And so is Mitch Trubisky. He had a nice fantasy outing last week, and he's now finished as a top 10 passer in 6 of his last 9 games. And keep in mind, his contest against LA in Week 14 was a game where he was coming off an injury. Over this time, he's provided almost 38 yards per game on the ground. That's essentially taking away a turnover and a half in scoring via rushing. And San Francisco, his opponent this week, has given up the 6th most fantasy points to the position this season. So I see Trubisky as a pretty safe option in Week 16. My deeper play of the week is Nick Foles. Houston ranks in the middle of the pack in fantasy points against this year, but the only quarterback that they've faced who ranks in the top 10 in points per game this season has been Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck scored 35.7 and 23.6 fantasy points against this Texans secondary. This game is in Philly, which is a big plus, and one interesting matchup is that the Texans have allowed a top 10 rate in percentage of receiving yards allowed to tight ends this season, meaning a large percentage of the passing yards that they've given up have gone to the tight end position. And we know Philly has very capable pass-catching tight ends. Now, Foles hasn't performed all that well this year in fantasy, but he also has a touchdown rate of just 0.9%. That small sample touchdown rate is bound to regress positively, so don't worry so much about his lack of touchdowns thrown in 2018. I do think that he's a sneaky good play as a solid QB2. Jameis Winston was someone I wasn't into last week, and I don't like him this week either against Dallas. The Cowboys' defense is strong, and at home this year, they've only allowed one QB1 performance. That was to Marcus Mariota, who needed a rushing touchdown to get there. The Bucs are still averaging the 2nd most points per game at quarterback as a team this year, but Dallas is 8th best at preventing fantasy points to be scored on them, and again, it's in Dallas. So I would be nervous about starting Jameis Winston. I saw that Jared Goff was the QB12 on Fantasy Pros this week, and while I understand it to a degree, I also don't think that you should feel confident about his ability to be a QB1 this week. As a matchup, Arizona's been a defense where you usually just get a high floor from your fantasy quarterback, not much of a ceiling. Matt Ryan was the QB1 in fantasy last week, but he was the first passer to rank higher than QB10 against the Cardinals all season long. And let's just be honest here. Jared Goff has sucked over the last 3 games. He has 1 combined touchdown pass to 7 interceptions, and he scored a combined 18 fantasy points. Had he been playing at least average, he'd be fine this week in this spot. But given his recent play, you should probably bench him. You more than likely weren't going to bench Marlon Mack this week, but this is me telling you that he should be in your lineup, and you should feel good about it. Since trading Snacks Harrison, the Giants have allowed 4.5 yards per carry to opposing running backs, which is a jump from the 3.9 average they gave up through the first 7 weeks of the season. And during this non-Harrison time, the Giants have allowed 5 top 10 running back performances in PPR formats in 7 games played. The Colts are 9-point home favorites, and Mack is coming off a game where he carried the ball 27 times. He has double-digit carries in all but 1 game played this year. He's in a great position to score a lot of points this week. I think Week 16 sets up as a Sony Michel game and not a James White game. I mentioned this in my 15 Transactions episode earlier in the week, but even though James White played the most snaps in New England's backfield in Week 15, a lot of that was due to the final Patriots drive where they were playing catch-up. Three of White's seven targets came on that final drive. And I'm worried for him in Week 16 with the Patriots as near 13-point favorites against Buffalo. It sets up to be a positive game script for them, which should lead to a decent amount of Sony Michel, not James White. Elijah McGuire handled 18 of a possible 25 running back attempts for the Jets last week, and this week, he gets a good matchup against the Packers. Green Bay is going to be without nose tackle Kenny Clark, which could open up some running lanes for McGuire. I mean, quite simply, it's Week 16, backfields are banged up, and we don't have a ton of scenarios where one player is locked in for a decent workload. And McGuire should be. He should see some work. So he's most definitely an RB2 or a flex-type option this week. The Dolphins continue to not use Kenyon Drake in a featured role, which means you can't really trust him in fantasy football. Kalen Ballage was the guy who stepped in for an injured Frank Gore last week, and when Gore went down, Ballage out-attempted Drake 12-1. Drake still played more snaps and saw more work as a receiver, but against Jacksonville this week, I'm not sure we'll see the Dolphins in a pass-friendly mode. They're 4.5-point favorites in Miami. Maybe the Dolphins decide to feature Drake more. Maybe that happens. I don't want to bank on that, though, given what we saw last week. And I'll be honest, I'm a little bit nervous about Gus Edwards on Saturday night against the Chargers. Kenneth Dixon actually outsnapped Edwards in Week 15, but a positive game script allowed Edwards to see 19 carries. He's now carried the ball an average of 19 times per game since Lamar Jackson took over, but Edwards still hasn't seen a single target with Lamar Jackson under center. He actually only has one target on the year. That's the third time since the turn of the century where a running back has had 100 or more carries with one or fewer targets. And that's what worries me this week. The Ravens are on the road as underdogs, which means they may not be able to dictate what they do offensively like we've seen them do during this stretch of games with Lamar Jackson under center. They're not facing Cincinnati or Oakland. I know they went up against Kansas City, and in that game, Edwards did see 16 carries. But he also wasn't coming off a game where another running back in the backfield outsnapped him. The Chargers have also allowed the highest percentage of receiving yards in the league to go to running backs. We saw Damian Williams destroy them through the air last week. So I think it's logical to be nervous about Edwards in Week 16. He'll more than likely need to find the end zone to be a worthwhile play in PPR formats. But to be honest, that's generally been the case for Gus Edwards. Robbie Anderson saw his highest snap rate of the season in Week 15, and he's now seen 7, 7, and 11 targets over his last three games. And Green Bay's been a bottom 10 secondary this year according to NumberFire's expected points model. So if you're looking for someone who may be on your waiver wire that you can plug in and play as a lower-end wide receiver too this week, Anderson is probably your dude. I've been down on Tyler Lockett for a lot of the second half of the fantasy season because of the rate that he was scoring touchdowns. And he hasn't found the end zone over his last two games after scoring 9 over his first 12. But I do like him a lot this week. We know that he's capable of creating big plays. In fact, on the season, on 15-plus air yard throws, Lockett has as many receptions as Antonio Brown, despite seeing 85 total fewer targets. Lockett has 64 targets on the year, and 19 of them have been on deep passes. That rate is a top 20 rate in the league. Meanwhile, no team has allowed more deep ball plays this season than the Chiefs, and no team has given up more air yards. Kansas City also has faced the fourth highest pass-to-rush ratio in the league defensively, which means Seattle may be a little bit more pass-heavy than we have typically seen them this season. It all means that Tyler Lockett could have some big plays in this matchup. Calvin Ridley's another player who might be a little bit overlooked this week. Carolina was fine against New Orleans on Monday night through the air, but it's a short week for them, and they still have the sixth worst secondary according to NumberFire's expected points model. And Ridley is coming off a game where he saw 7 targets. He just couldn't do a whole lot with them. If this game was in Atlanta, it would be a lot easier to play Ridley. But he has some big playability, especially against a secondary that's allowed the third most deep ball plays to succeed in the NFL this year. If you've got to dig a little bit deeper, I think Deshaun Hamilton should at least provide a floor for you in PPR formats. He now has 21 targets over his last two games, and Oakland, according to PFF, has been below average at surrendering slot yards this season. He's not an option that brings a ton of upside just given the offense that he's in, but he should see some work. I'm a little lower on Julian Edelman than the consensus this week. Even after last week's Kenny Golladay explosion, Buffalo has still given up the fewest receiving yards to wideouts this year. And according to Pro Football Focus, no team has surrendered fewer yards to slot receivers than the Buffalo Bills. So that doesn't help Edelman's cause. And again, this is a game where New England should be leading, so there may not be a ton of volume for their wideouts. You probably can't bench Julian Edelman, but at least temper your expectations. Some of you may be looking to start Mike Williams this week after his big performance in Week 15, and while I don't completely hate him, I also don't think that he's in a very good spot. Baltimore has given up the fifth fewest yards to wideouts this year, and they're one of three teams who's allowed single-digit touchdowns to the position. I wouldn't be trusting Williams as anything more than a wide receiver three, and that's even if Keenan Allen sits. Jared Cook should go ham this week, or at least that's what it's looking like on paper. Denver has given up the second most receiving yards to tight ends this year, and this game is being played in Oakland, which is big for Jared Cook. He's topped 50 yards in all but one home game this year. Meanwhile, he's yet to hit that mark on the road. So given the matchup and the fact that this is a home game, Cook should be in really good shape. Since week 11, which is when tight end Jeff Swaim was injured, Blake Jarwin has dominated the routes run at tight end for Dallas. According to Pro Football Focus, over the last 4 weeks, Jarwin's run 109 routes. The next closest Cowboys tight end has 55. That's led to back-to-back 7-target games for Blake Jarwin. And against Tampa Bay this week, a plus matchup, he makes for a nice streamer. At defense this week, I think that you have to like Miami as a nice high-floor option. Since Cody Kessler took over for Jacksonville, they've averaged fewer than 10 points per game while maintaining a 20.4 yards per drive rate. That is horrendous. And that yards per drive, by the way, is 8.5 yards lower than what they saw before Kessler. Meanwhile, over these three Kessler starts, the Jags have allowed three top 10 defensive performances. Miami's at home, and they're a great defensive streamer. I like the Colts defense a lot this week at home as well. They're 9-point favorites against the Giants, and in games where New York has lost by a touchdown or more this year, which has happened 5 times, every defense going up against the Giants finished in the top 10 in weekly scoring. And the average defense among those defenses was defense 5. The Colts D is playing really well, and I would expect that to continue in Week 16. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And I'm also on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Feel free to follow me on there. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow with Week 16's Mailbag episode.